If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are talking New York sports on this Thursday. 3 weeks from today, the baseball season opens up. And in just a minute, I'm very excited, the committee will announce who finished sixth, fifth, fourth, and third in Almost Champions, the list of the most beloved New York Almost Champions, teams that came this close to winning a championship, but a tad short. But before we get to this edition of Almost Champions, let's talk to you. A couple of calls, including Linda in Paterson, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Linda.
Hi, Evan. How you doing today?
We are good. How are you?
Good. My lucky number is 13 because I wasn't sure about Washington, D.C., but that made it number 13.
Nice.
And Rhode Island is very, very, very beautiful. Tiki, you should definitely plan on going there.
Oh, I definitely will be up there. My son is in Brown up there. I'm surprised I haven't been yet, but we definitely will be there shortly.
Excellent. You've been on TV today, too, and you look really hot with those glasses on, let me tell you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, he does. Very sexy.
What I wanted to talk about was I'm watching the Yankee game in between watching you guys on TV.
Yes.
And I look at the lineup that they're going to go with. It's terrible. I mean, Cole pitched an awful game. They haven't even scored anything before the seventh inning.
Let me just say this, Linda. The results do not matter, okay? That you could throw. Gerrit Cole, barring injury, and he's not injured, is working on stuff. Mm. Nothing to worry about. As far as the lineup's concerned, if you don't like the way it's configured, I get it. But don't look at the results on March 6th.
Yeah,
Trust me. Spring training.
We hate spring training because all we're doing is waiting for somebody else to get hurt.
Basically, that's it.
So just get through the next few weeks and we'll be all right.
That is it. I did a deep study once, Linda. I'm not going to bore her with this and I'm not going to bore you guys with this. I'm just going to give you the results without getting into the details. Where I looked at spring training results and how it equates to regular season results.
Oh, my God.
And let me just tell you guys, I already did the work. I saved you time. It means nothing.
Same with the NFL.
Same with the NFL. Browning-Nagel. You know Browning-Nagel?
He was undefeated for a while.
Look at you. Right. They were 5-0 in the preseason.
Yes.
They went 3-13 that year, if memory serves correct.
2000 Giants, 0-4 in the preseason.
How about that? Do you remember that, Teak?
I don't.
I do, because I argued with one of my dad's friends about it.
2000? We sucked in the preseason?
0-4. Well, I'll never forget one of my dad's friends telling me have no expectations.
How did we
should have
suck?
No hopes.
We had a good team.
It's the preseason.
Do you remember who your third and stringers were that were losing those games?
No, I don't.
They were probably rookies, and rookies suck.
Yes, I hate them.
Now, speaking of the 2000 Giants, there are six Almost Champions remaining. So what we're about to find out from the committee are the guys and the teams that finished 6, 5, 4, and 3. There'll be two left. So we'll know the top two Almost Champions over the last 40 years. Will Tiki's 2000 Giants be revealed today? Or are they going to finish in the top two? How do my Mets teams do? Because both Met Almost Champions are still in. Both Knicks Almost Champions are still in. And the 0-1 Yankees are still there. So let's find out. Almost Champions, created by the committee here at WFAN. I don't know who's on the committee. No one has ever revealed who's on it. I did run into Craig Carton today. Mm. Is it possible Craig's on the committee? Probably not, because I don't think he knows half the guys on this team.
No shot he's on the committee.
But you never know.
I mean, you could just have a clueless committee member.
Wow, right? It's true. But the committee did this on Beloved, on Success, on how they brought the city together. There were a lot of factors on how they decided to rank these teams. So, ladies and gentlemen, number six.
Number six, the 2015 New York Mets.
Here's the payoff pitch from Familia to Fowler on the way. And it's in there, strike three called. The Mets win the pennant. The New York Mets have won the National League pennant. Put it in the books. The New York Mets, for the first time in 15 years, are champions of the National League. And they are mobbing each other out behind the pitcher's mound. They have completed a four-game sweep of the Chicago Cubs in the National League Championship Series. They win game four, 8-3. And now the disappointed crowd here at Wrigley Field begin to salute their Cubs, whose long streak, 70 years without a pennant, and back to 1908 without a World Series, will continue. But all of the focus now on the New York Mets. They're headed to the World Series.
Wow, you could hear Howie almost breaking up at the end.
Yeah.
This would have been number one to me. I gave this a lot of thought.
Why did you love that team so much?
I love that team because it came out of nowhere. It's very similar to 2024. The Mets, they got off to a good start that year. Then they struggled. They had no lineup to where when they acquired Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson, they were heroes. And when they traded for Cespedes and that whole, you know, 72-hour craziness between Wilmer Flores crying, they lose a game in the rain, they trade for Carlos Gomez. Oh, wait, they don't. Then they get Cespedes. Then Wilmer Flores hits a walk-off against the Nats on a Friday night, and he's crying out of excitement. Then they sweep the Nationals, and they run away with the NL East. It was just crazy. It was like this crazy soap opera that, as a Met fan, you felt like you lived through it.
Does that one sting a little more, though?
I think it feels like it should.
Well, especially because now the next year, the Cubs just go and say, like, oh, now we're winning the World Series.
The Cub thing doesn't affect me at all. What stings is that they lost, and what stings is how they lost. But here's the thing about almost champions. I would think all of these sting, because none of them won. Like, Tiki, you're proud of the 2000 Giants. I'm sure the Super Bowl stings. Like, it all stings. So yeah, what kind of comment is
such
that?
Such an ass kicking. I don't.
Oh, so maybe it stings less?
It's just kind of like, dude, we have no shot.
Well, maybe. Perfect example is the 03 Yankees sting more than they should because of 04 with the Red Sox.
I think that's a little bit different because of who ended up beating you and the way they did it. But personally, the Cubs have no impact on me. Like, I get it. Like, you listen to that clip, and it's weird to think that the next year they won the World Series doesn't do anything for me. But I would have had them a lot higher, so respectfully disagree with the committee.
I'm with you on that, Evan, and we fought about this before, so we don't have to fight again. But I still, and I will say this forever, the Mets had no shot in that series of beating the Royals. That was the Royals' year, coming off the year before. The Royals were never, they weren't losing to anybody that year.
I disagree with that. Mets could have won that series. They didn't. It sucks. Let's hear number five.
Number five, the 2000 New York Mets.
Oh, heads into the windup. Now the pitch. And a drive in the air to center field. Timo Perez jumps in the air, waiting for it to come down, makes the catch, and the New York Mets are the 2000 National League champions. And they'll be going to the World Series for the first time since 1986.
All right, here's the deal. And I had a feeling the Mets were going to be back-to-back. I had a feeling.
Why didn't we play Who Let the Dogs Out with them?
Well, Who Let the Dogs Out was being played. It was actually in the background, which you don't hear as well in that radio clip. But trust me, my memory will tell you they blasted Who Let the Dogs Out when they won. That 2000, and this really has nothing to do with the Yankees. I know you're not going to believe me, Sean. That's fine. The 15 team, to me, tingles me more than the 2000 team.
How come?
I think in 2000.
Because of everything you just said?
I think the journey was just so wild. Like, in 2000, they were close in 99. They didn't have to play the Braves in 2000. Not that I...
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Crying over it, but I don't know. It just, I didn't have the same connection with the 2000 team that I had with the 15 team.
You knocked
David Wright was on the 15 team.
Yeah.
Jake was on the 15 team.
But this
team.
Is Piazza Harvey. Getting to the World Series, dude.
I get it.
This
I love
is knocking on the door. Everything that happened in 99, come out. You finally break through there. First time since 86.
15 tingles with me more than 2000, and this is going to stun you. The 15 World Series pisses me off more.
It's ridiculous.
It should.
You lost to the Royals.
We lost to the Royals. It was very similar in that both series were winnable. But at the end of the day, despite the Yankees only winning 87 games, they were dynasty. They were better than us. I don't believe the Royals were better than us. I believe the Yankees were. So, look, I'm not going to yell at the committee because maybe a lot of Met fans disagree with me. Clearly, Tommy does, and that's fine. I just disagree with
because them. I both of you. They lost to the Royals. The Royals were in the World Series the year prior, and if it wasn't for Madison Bumgarner, they would have won back-to-back World Series.
That is
or had they won the year prior, they probably wouldn't have been as determined. They added a bunch of players, Morales, Alexi Ramirez. Mm-hmm. They were a team on a mission. Losing to the freaking Yankees. After game one of that series, I vowed to myself, if you were smart, you'd stop watching sports for the rest of your life. That's how devastated I was. How were you not? This is where me and you just disagree. Devastated to lose that type of game to the Yankees.
I didn't say I wasn't devastated. I'm saying I was more devastated by 15. I think the difference was, I think in 2000, when the Yankees beat the Mariners and Michael Kay screamed, "Get your tokens ready." Oh, God, that line still haunts me to this day.
Yeah.
When Big Head screamed, "Get your tokens right," I knew we were losing to the Yankees. I knew it. I watched them win in 99. I watched them win in 98. They kick our ass all the time. They did it during the regular season. I just knew it. So even with the leading game one being in the building that night, deep in my soul, I knew we were losing. I really thought we were beating the Royals. I really did. With that lead in the ninth inning against Kansas City versus the lead in the ninth inning against the Yankees, there was something different.
Right.
And so I think that's what killed me more. And I understand where you're coming from, Tommy, because it's the Yankees versus the Royals. Of course, losing to the Yankees in terms of their fans and the city, of course that's far worse. I'm talking about I really thought the Mets were going to win. I did. It's kind of like the Nets we did a few days ago. In 03, I thought they were winning a championship. In 02, I knew we were cooked.
Right.
The Lakers were going to play like we were their food, and we were. That's how it felt to me. So,
and I think you just I don't want to use the word like, but you have a better feelings towards the players on the 15 Mets than you did in 2000.
I do.
We're going to get to the Knicks here, I'm sure, in a second. Obviously, we know Patrick was on both teams, but they were basically different rosters, so you might like a team more than the other based on the players.
I have a strong opinion on the Knicks. Let's see where they are. We have four left. Two Knicks teams, a Giant team, and a Yankee team. I have no idea where they're going to finish, but here's number four on Almost Champions.
Number four, the 1999 New York Knicks.
I disagree.
And NBA history has just been made. The New York Knicks are the first eighth seed to ever make the NBA Finals. Jeff Van Gundy's wife in tears.
I completely disagree with this. Knicks fans, you got screwed. In my opinion, the 1999 Knicks should be number one. Mm. That's right, you
number
heard me.
One in a lockout
Why?
Year?
No, a lockout year. Are you serious?
I mean,
are you serious?
The season was half fake.
Who the hell cares about the lockout?
I'm holding
you miss
the
half
same
the season.
Thing?
Yeah. No one cares about NBA or NHL lockouts. The playoffs mattered. First of all,
were a fake eight seed. That's my point.
They were a pseudo fake eight seed. I'll give you that. Mm. It was an out of nowhere run. That's number one.
But couldn't have any team have been out of nowhere?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
It was an out of nowhere run. Ewing was hurt. They beat Miami in a game five. They beat the Pacers to go to the finals. And again, it was one of the most out-of-nowhere runs we've ever seen. Like, I don't know, man. To me, the 99...
Does that make it more beloved?
In my opinion, I'm trying to be an IBO here because I'm obviously not a Knicks fan. I would absolutely put him above the 94 Knicks, and clearly they didn't finish ahead of him.
How big of a fan were you then, Loogie?
Oh, huge. I think more fondly...
One last thing. I'm sorry, Tommy.
Go ahead.
LJ, four-point play. Love. Shut up.
Grandmama.
Shut up!
I think more fondly about that 99 team. The 94 one, because you know why, Teak? You know what I still hear from supporters of that era? Michael Jordan. Reminder, they got to the finals and lost to Hakeem. So Michael Jordan had nothing to do with it.
Right.
They had an opportunity to win a championship, and they didn't. So I'm more aggravated by that 94 team, where the 99 one was more of the spunky, we got there, great run.
Before you guys argue, I think it's very important to find out who's next, because I want to see if it's the 94 Knicks, and we can further this discussion, or if it's the Giants or the Yankees.
Got it.
Let's just find out. This is number, we're up to number three.
Number three, the 1994 New York Knicks.
2:08 seconds to go, and here's Workman for the three-point shot. The New York Knicks get into the NBA Finals.
Now you can argue 94-90.
Go ahead.
Look, again, as an IBO, Evan, growing up in that 90s era and now living my adulthood looking back, what does everybody talk about? Patrick Ewing. Like you mentioned, Ewing, that was an Allen Houston 99 team. That was Sprewell.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Ewing finally getting to an NBA Finals, all centers around 94. The OJ chase stopping.
Right.
That run, Michael Jordan retires before that. Everything that goes into it, the 94 team was the heartbeat of the city. They're doing it as the Rangers are doing it, the spring of 94.
The Rangers have nothing to do with this.
No. But it adds to the mystique
of
what that spring meant and what Knick fans tingled with.
Okay, so a couple of things I want to address on this.
I was not here.
Patrick Ewing in 1999 got hurt in the middle of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pacers, and they won the series.
Right.
So let's not act like Ewing wasn't on the team. He wasn't the same guy, obviously.
Yes.
But he was on the team. He was in street clothes celebrating when they won that East. And here's the other thing, and this is a big thing, and I'm pretty consistent because I brought this up with the Mets, so of course I'll bring it up with the Knicks. You didn't beat your biggest rival. Your biggest rival didn't have its best player. And oh, by the way, if it wasn't for a BS call, you would have lost to him anyway in 94 with Chicago.
But they still won. So
they still
matter.
Won, but they didn't beat Jordan. And they barely beat the Jordanless Bulls. I'm sorry, I include that. I think that matters.
That definitely factors in. 100%.
Thank you.
And the Pacers and Heat in the other run. To me, when you look at the biggest rivals for the Knicks in my lifetime, Pacers, Heat, Bulls, you could rank them whichever way you want. I would rank the Heat at number one for me. So knocking those, I hated Alonzo Mourning, Pat Riley, that smug, the whole operation.
I'll give you another one, and I don't know if the committee used this as a factor, but I would. I think when you lose a championship that deep in your soul still kills you to this day that you should have freaking won it, I think it makes it worse. Losing in 1994 was the biggest missed opportunity, arguably, in the history of New York sports.
And that's what you just said, Loogie.
He's right. And in 1999, it was magic. It was a magic run. It was fun. And you lost to a burgeoning dynasty. We didn't realize it at the time. The definition of dynasty is weird, but we saw what Duncan did. What Pop did. We saw what the Spurs did.
They definitely were a dynasty.
Right. I don't know. I think the 99 team is more special than the 94 team.
Dude, when you go back and you think about it, and you ask any Knick fan, who did you love in the 90s? What are they starts? Starts with Ewing. I get it. But that was prime Ewing. Then it goes to Oakley.
Mason.
Charles Smith.
Starks.
Those guys are not on the 99 Knicks.
Okay.
Like, all the beloved players that Knick fans scream and yell from
That's
the mountaintops about they love are
the
all from the 94 Knicks.
The only one you throw out there
Knicks.
Is Grandmama.
Yes.
That's who you throw out there.
Yes.
What's the most iconic play in the last multiple generations of Knick basketball? So I'm not going to include the 70s when you guys were actually, you know, winning championships. I'm going to include, like, the last two generations.
A play doesn't make a game or
LJ,
a season.
LJ, the Houston game winner,
but it doesn't
obviously
make a game or a season.
No, but I think it's part of it. I think it's part of it.
Look, I know you're trying to get this out of me, so I'll say it again. That Ewing mid-90s Knick team is the most overrated era of sports in the history of this town. We've had to hear about it forever. They're on a pedestal that every other Knick team that comes after them has to be compared to. They didn't win. I understand they were gritty. I understand they were tough. I understand we love them. I understand the Garden was buzzing. They did not win.
I agree. I wasn't trying to get you to say that, though. That's
no,
that's
but
you
Sean is
that.
Because he's saying, oh, well, everybody loved those players. And I love them, too.
Tommy.
But we forget about 99. We always, like, will knock Carmelo Anthony and Stat. Even this current Knick team, you watch, if they don't win an NBA title, we're going to start hearing about the freaking 90s Knicks again who did not win.
Neither did the 99
team. Sean, I get that, but you don't hear about that Sprewell, LJ, Camby. You don't hear about that team, and they're not as revered as that first incarnation with Ewing of the earlier 90s.
From a perspective of a Knick hater, the president of the Coalition of Knick Haters, 99 killed me. A lot more than 94. So we got two that will reveal tomorrow. We'll find out what's number one. Tiki, congratulations. Mm-hmm. The 2000 Giants will either be the most or the second most beloved almost champions. And then the other one's the 01 Yankees, a sneaky one that jumped out at you. So we'll find out tomorrow in the conclusion of Almost Champions. Bad Tiki will join us coming up. We'll also take a listen to the interesting combine NFL rumors of Rich Eisen and see, are any of them real? Based on his rumors from last year and his rumors from this year. And, of course, we'll talk to you at 888-808-1019. 3 o'clock, right here on The Fan. It's the return of Tiki Barber Presents Jeopardy. Sean Morash, who's known as, quote, a fat moron, not my words, versus Sal Licata.
Intellectually bankrupt.
That is tomorrow at 3 o'clock, right here on The Fan.
Are you not ready? You don't have to study for it or anything.
You know what it is tomorrow, but in the back of my mind, I kept thinking next week.
No, tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? Better.
Get it over with.
Not only get it over with, I'd rather not overthink.
Well, that's the key.
I'm going to go to sleep tonight saying it's next week.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about
Tiki,
it.
You know, I'm either prepared or I'm not.
I applaud you. Just a little nudge. A little nudge. Cartoons, let's go 90s.
You should make one category Rocky and see what happens.
Rocky.
Yeah. Sal's watched them 150 times. Sean's never seen it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
We'll see tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Now, before we get to Bad Tiki, let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey. How are you, Gabe?
What's up, Gabe?
Hey, good, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Evan, I completely agree with you. I think that the best hitter should be at the first spot in the lineup. The one caveat that I would have, though, is that they need hitters behind them. This is why the Yankees right now cannot have Judge batting first. Matter of fact, they really should be batting him third, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have two of your better hitters, and that's really a hard thing to say on the Yankees right now because they don't really have great hitters, but I would rather have two of your better hitters ahead of Judge than have to rely on Judge leading off and then later coming up in the game after two of the worst hitters have batted in your 8 and 9.
Well, what I would do differently is not have my worst hitters batting 8th and 9th. I would change the structure of my lineup so my 8 and 9 hitters would actually be decent on-base guys,
mm-hmm.
so I could get guys on base for Judge. But you talk about hitting him third. Two outs and nobody on with Aaron Judge up, or nobody on, nobody out with Aaron Judge up. What gives you a better opportunity to score a run that inning? I think the answer is very simple.
Right. judge up, nobody out, nobody on.
Bingo. Jay is in Miller Place. How are you, Jay?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. What's up?
Guys, I was 10 years old. The 94 Knicks, to me, got to be number one. I know there will be other, you know, the committee has their speak and everything, and I appreciate you guys' opinions. But let me tell you, I was heartbreaking. The Rangers in the Stanley Cup and the Knicks, you know, fall there. Oh, to me, you know, the best run regardless. And, no, you know,
I understand that. I think what hurts it is that they really should have won.
Yeah.
They were given the gift from the gods that Michael Jordan didn't play basketball that year. You still barely got by Chicago. And look, Houston was great. They ended up winning back-to-back titles. Akeem's one of the greats of all time.
Right, that's the thing. We're diminishing the Houston Rockets but they and one of the great big men of all time.
But they should have won the series.
I mean, yes, but it's Akeem.
I understand.
You had a dream shake.
Right, and Hakeem and every Rocket fan is going to look back if they lost that series and think that was the one time without Michael 100%. Jordan we got there was the Knicks.
I don't know if this matters. I'm just being honest. As someone that hates the New York Knicks, the 99 team drove me nuts by a lot more.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that Knicks fans love them.
No, clearly not. And the committee, by the way, put the 94 Knicks ahead of the 99 Knicks. The only teams ahead of the 94 Knicks in terms of beloved almost champions are the 2000 Giants and the 2001 Yankees. So it's not like it's a laundry list of teams. And who knows, maybe the sports themselves helped them out. We're talking about the King NFL team in New York and the King baseball team in New York. Mike's in Bayside. Hey, Mike.
Hey, I love all four of you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
And Evan, your takes on these, on your last two takes, I can't. First of all, the 94 was so heartbreaking. They should have definitely won. It made me actually stop being a Knicks fan. And let me say something about the Mets. Please let me get this point out.
What?
If we would have won 2000, we would have won 06, we would have won 15, and we would have won last year. It was so, to beat the Yankees in 2000 would have been like an ego thing. And, you know, in 15, we were a victim of three young pitchers who, let's face it, their careers really didn't pan out that much.
But my point to you, first of all, your point that the Mets would have won in 06 and 15 and last year just because they beat the Yankees in 2000.
Well, it's because the mentality changed.
Well, our mentality would change, but Carlos Beltran's mentality ain't going to change.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
I do admit
you're not
that.
Not chasing the championship so much.
I do admit that winning that World Series would have changed all of our lives from a sports perspective in a greater way than any other team we've rooted for winning a championship. Mm-hmm. Because if the Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series, even if everything else played out the exact same way, right? Losing 06 the way right. they did, everything's the same. We would hold something over Yankee fans forever.
We would have been Big Brother for the last 25 years or so.
Not really.
Really? No, because if you win that World Series.
There's still 26 other ones.
No, but Teek, if you win the head-to-head, though, you have that forever.
I'm joking.
That's the trump card.
You're getting lost in the whole Big Brother thing. I don't agree with that, but we would have something over them.
Right.
Like, Sean, as a Yankee fan, would it be different interacting with us?
Yes, because no matter how many times I think back to my falling in love with the dynasty, you guys could always go, that's great.
Well, that's the best part, ending the dynasty. Yeah. Like, let's keep that in mind. The Mets would have ended. The Diamondbacks ended the dynasty. Yeah. The Mets could have ended the dynasty.
By the way, and I know they don't count, but maybe they should, the team that lost to the NLCS to the Cardinals. Just think about where Oliver Perez, Andy Chavez, where we would think of them in this town. That Chavez catch, I'm not even kidding, would have probably been a statue outside City
Before Field. We did this countdown, we did honorable mention for the teams that didn't get to the World Series or Super Bowl or NBA Finals.
Yeah, they were great. They got to the championship game but didn't get through the championships.
Yep. Jets had a few examples. Mm-hmm. The 06 Mets. The 88 Mets. Like, there are definitely a lot of examples, but the committee made it clear. You got to get to a championship. So we'll find out the answer tomorrow at 4 o'clock. But Bad Tiki is joining us, and he's brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com. I do want to warn everybody, especially if you haven't listened to us or Bad Tiki ever, Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of The Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show.
It's that time again, baby. Bad Tiki time. What time is it? Bad Tiki time. Wait a minute, Evan, you are back. Why are you back? You were supposed to be gone for good.
What are you talking about, Bad Tiki? Last Thursday I was on vacation. I was in Florida. Now I'm back. Why the hell are you surprised?
Oh, I see. We are just going to act like we don't know. I was testing you, Evan. Last week when the Epstein client list was going to be released, I might have made a last-minute phone call. That's why you're back. But you can thank me for that later. Right now, we have real business to get to. Establisher Tiki, my favorite Tiki. Last week you droned on and on about the Giants QB options. Where are we at with that whole thing?
Well,
asking for a friend.
I mean, there's a few options that are out there. Most recently being linked to Kyler Murray. There's Kirk Cousins out there. I guess you could look at the draft and
figure out. Precursor Tiki, don't even say their names. I forbid it. You're going to sit here and tell me the answer is little tiny baby Kyler Murray. He is a small man or Captain Mid Kirk Cousins. The only answer is a true champion. A hand-selected Bad Tiki special. Touched by the hand of Bad Tiki.
Okay, Bad Tiki, let's hear it. Who's your guy?
Well, sports talk Winnie the Pooh. I'm glad you asked. Because as of this morning, I am the proud owner and CEO of Bad Tiki Prestige Athlete Representation, Inc., all rights reserved. Here at Bad Tiki Prestige Athlete Representation, Inc., we not only represent the finest A-list athletes who are not too old or washed up, but we assist them in finding a good home. Our over 110,000 agent Tikis pour over all the available data to find the right match for our clients. Bad Tiki is going to make a killing. Cha-cha-ching! Wow. Baby! Can nobody stop that Bad Tiki cash flow?
I got to tell you, Bad Tiki, that is outstanding. So who's the client?
Oh, right. Thanks, grandfather of all Tikis, Tiki. It's my pleasure to announce to you Bad Tiki Prestige Athlete Representation, Inc.'s client, AI Aaron Rodgers. He's just as good as normal Aaron Rodgers. He's ready to get to work and fix all the Giants problems overnight. Now is when you applaud Bad Tiki. Giants fans, applaud your new king. King of the Giants, King Bad Tiki.
Hang on, Bad Tiki. Aaron Rodgers? You gotta be kidding me with this, right?
I don't expect you to understand a brilliant football acquisition, Roberts. I know what you're going to say. Oh, but Bad Tiki, he's old. He got hurt. Guess what, Evan? You don't have the cards.
What?
You don't have the cards, Evan. You got to understand, Bad Tiki holds the cards now. You've made bad deals with a guy named Gettleman, who is not a smart person. That wasn't me. That wasn't Bad Tiki.
What? No. Oh, no. Come on.
Gettleman gives you sheets. Bad Tiki gives you javelins. In fact, I believe the saying is, Gettleman gave us sheets, Bad Tiki gave javelins. You didn't even say thank you. You haven't said thank you once since this call started. Evan, why don't you wear a suit? Do you not own a suit?
Bad Tiki, what does that even mean?
It means you got to be more thankful, Evan. Because let me tell you something. With Bad Tiki, you have the cards. Without Bad Tiki, you don't have the cards.
Okay, we're starting to lose them now.
The problem is, I've empowered you to be a tough guy. New York, the bottom line is this. You need a real leader. So let's hear from the man himself. Ladies and gentlemen, AI Rodgers.
I got to say, I've always admired the New York Giants. The history, the fans, the brutal winters, the overwhelming sense of existential dread that lingers over MetLife Stadium. I just can't get enough of this town. I need it. No distractions, I promise. Sean, I see you. I see your pain. I see the way your hopes rise in September. Only to be crushed by November. I will save you. Take my hand.
Oh, my God. I love what I'm hearing, Aaron. But why our Giants? Why not the Steelers? Why not the Raiders?
That's a great question, my son. The truth is, I can't leave New Jersey.
Tell them why AI Rodgers. Why can't you leave New Jersey? You guys will love this.
I signed a contract with Bad Tiki in return for not getting vaccinated or drinking fluoride water. My contract states I cannot leave New York and New Jersey. Specifically, I cannot be more than 1 mile away from Bad Tiki at all times. I have to be on call 24/7 for my overlord, Bad Tiki. He's been monitoring my movements via ankle monitor since my first game with the Jets. I told him the ankle monitor was too tight. I warned him and negative Tommy it was going to snap my...
Aaron Rodgers! Did you finish cleaning the microwave like Bad Tiki told you? Did you separate the recycling? You haven't even started scrubbing the bathroom grout. What have you been doing all day?
How is this my life now?
You signed a contract, buddy. You wanted a second chance. You wanted to prove yourself. Well, you made your mistake. And now Bad Tiki owns your soul. That laundry isn't gonna fold itself. Aaron, seriously, though, how can we break free from Bad Tiki? There must be a better life out there for us. I fantasize about a life where Aaron Rodgers plays for the Giants of his own free will, and the Giants are good, and I'm not always screaming. All I eat is lozenges and drink tea with honey. Nothing helps with the throat pain. No man is meant to scream this way. Bad Tiki set us free. End this suffering.
I would like to take this opportunity to apologize to Jimmy Kimmel and Dr. Fauci.
You hear that, Bad Tiki? He's apologizing to your friends. Now, please let us go. Let us start anew.
Negative, Tommy. You're always the MVP of the party. Okay, I must be going now. Looks like my work here is done.
What work? All you've done is torment AI Aaron Rodgers and Negative Tommy.
Evan, you still don't have the cards, and you should really be more thankful. I've just done more for the Giants than their front office has in 5 years. That's it. I'm out of here. Bye, losers. AI Rodgers, fetch my slippers and draw me a warm bath. Make sure this place is tidy for when Mrs. Roberts arrives.
Stop.
Now, she has all the cards, and I am thankful. Bad Tiki out.
All right. Thank you very much, Bad Tiki. I do remind you that Bad Tiki and AI Rodgers is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber or the real Rodgers. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki and Aaron Rodgers, they're real people. They have their own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those that were recently expressed by Bad Tiki and AI Rodgers. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment.
Did we just break news?
Yeah. Was he suggesting that the ankle monitor caused his Achilles tear?
It was too tight.
Too tight?
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me at this point. There's so many things from that I can't get over. Especially the confusion in Sean's eyes. He was confused by some of the lines in that.
Very.
Yeah, like holding all the cards or not saying thank you.
He doesn't get it. I have no idea.
That's all right.
It's because he don't read the news. You just read the sports.
Tell me if you get this.
I don't read.
That is true. That's why Sal's going to kick his ass tomorrow at 3 o'clock in Tiki
Intellectually
Barber.
Bankrupt.
In Tiki Barber presents Jeopardy. So if you guys remember last year, Rich Eisen, who I love, face of the NFL Network, does his own show. Isn't it like in our company now?
Runs the 40.
It's
on Infinity Sports Network. Yes, it's in our company.
That's right. So Rich Eisen's like a coworker. But I like Rich. We used to have Rich on a lot. Big respect for him. He's one of those guys where he's not a reporter, but he don't make crap up. So if he hears something, he'll tell you. So over the last couple of years on his show, he'll tell you the five things he heard at the combine. Mm. So when he started doing that, I said to the guys, we should listen to it, but we should also listen to it a year later just to see, like, was he right? Right. Was he accurate?
It's good. So, counting. Let's audit this thing.
So before we hear Rich Eisen's juicy NFL rumors for this year, let's go back a year and see how accurate Rich was.
Number five on the list involves the Minnesota Vikings. I heard this rumor that a possible salve at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings is a native of the state, and his name is Trey Lance.
Yeah, so we got that one wrong.
Yeah.
Way off.
I thought he was going to say Sam Darnold out of nowhere.
That would have been a good one. Yeah, Trey Lance, of course, ended up with Dallas. He sat there. He's a free agent again, right?
He is.
So far, love you, Rich. 0-1.
What if Trey Lance goes to Minnesota this year?
Then I give him a victory.
Right.
Because then he was just a year off, that's all. 0-1. Let's hear number four from Rich.
Jaden Daniels is QB2 in this draft.
Ooh.
He's right.
Fact.
He was QB2. He's the second quarterback picked.
Fact.
All right.
And rookie of the year.
And the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, that's right.
He was QB2, but he's really QB1, if you know what I mean. All right. 1-1. Let's hear number three from last year.
Number three of my top five rumors I heard at the combine is the Giants are absolutely done with Daniel Jones.
He nailed that one.
I mean, it took a few weeks, but he was right.
Oh, man. That was the one we played last year that we were most interested in.
Of course.
Because we did this last year where we listened to a year before. So this is like a common thing now. We just got to check on Rich, see if he's right before we listen to the new rumors. So that one, he absolutely got right. But the only thing not that I disagree, it's more talking about it again, is if they were done with him last year, why wouldn't they bring someone in who could really give him competition? You know what I mean? Because they never ended
because
doing
of the
that.
Money. I think it was all the money. If you were going to go get a veteran, it was going to cost you too much, and quarterback room was already too heavy.
So they figured, let's just get Drew Locke and keep Tommy DeVito, who are clear backups.
Right.
All right, 2 out of 3 so far for Rich.
The rumor I heard from multiple people at the combine is his definition of all in is to make Dak play out his walk year and not extend him at all.
Ooh, got that one wrong.
Right.
Of course, Dak ended up getting that massive contract and just restructured the other day.
Right, because he got hurt again.
All right, so two for two, or two and two. So this is the fifth one. This is like the tiebreaker. This is like game five of the division series for our buddy Rich Eisen.
Number one, straight up, the Bears have one intention and one intention only, and that's to draft Caleb Williams.
Trade Justin Fields. That was easy.
That's a cheapie.
That was a cheapie?
A cheap one. I think everybody knew that.
I got to defend Rich.
Everybody knew that from like February.
Yeah, but at the time there were still thoughts of they're going to keep Fields. Maybe they don't draft Caleb Williams. Like it wasn't, I know now it does seem easy, but at the time there was a thought that they could move that first round pick.
No, when they fired Waldron, Shane, their offensive coordinator, you knew that that Fields was dead.
All right. So I give Rich, pretty good with his rumors.
That's good.
So that's how he did last year. Let's hear what he's got this year.
Number five, the Cowboys are out on many of their own free agents.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
I kind of do. Because of the money.
Yeah. And where are they with Micah Parsons in terms of extending him? Are they anywhere, especially after Max Crosby got paid?
So there was a follow-up to this. Obviously, we're only playing a short clip. He said the two guys they want to keep are Oso Digizua, who ended up
with
his son.
Yep.
And
yep.
that they intend,
but they get him on a team-friendly deal, correct?
Right. And they intend to figure out Micah Parsons. They just restructured that Dak deal to free up that
To free up some space, right? Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, they have a good amount of cap space. They got more cap space than the Giants do.
Do they?
This is post the restructure, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, a part of that is because of Dak.
Right.
Dak. One, it's contract because of the way it was originally structured, and then he restructured it again. So maybe they've cleared space. Who knows what they're going to do with it, though. Didn't they redo CeeDee Lamb as well?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they did.
Yep, they redid both to clear out that space to get the room that you talked about.
They have a few guys that, you know, won't be back.
Who?
I think Brandon Cooks, who was their number two wide receiver. Okay. And
Trey Lance will be gone, but who cares?
I believe I'm seeing
Zach Martin retired.
I believe I'm seeing rumors that Trayvon Diggs is probably gone, too.
Interesting. All right. Let's hear number four.
Jaden Daniels is QB2 in this draft.
Oh, that was last year. Hold on, Rich. You were right about that, Rich. You don't have to brag. We get it. Here's the next one for this
Hold
year.
Hold on. I loaded the wrong cards.
It's all right.
Yeah, so back to those Cowboys. You know, I
heard rumors that Micah Parsons won't resign. And all right, here's our buddy Rich.
Last year I heard it's going to be Trey Lance, plan A.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't. So take this for what you will.
Oh, he's acknowledging.
The Vikings plan A quarterback, I heard at the combine from multiple people,
I heard,
is to sign Sam Darnold and for more than 1 year.
If they sign, and that could happen. If they sign Sam Darnold for more than 1 year, and I heard Mike Florio say this the other day, and it's just speculation, but Florio speculated J.J. McCarthy will ask for a trade. And I'll speculate the same damn thing, because why wouldn't he?
Right.
If you're J.J. McCarthy, look, it's one thing to sit behind Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. You're telling me this kid is going to want to sit behind Sam Darnold for multiple years?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on if his knee injury recovers, because remember he had to have a second surgery after the initial surgery, and so I have no idea. I'm not paying attention to the Minnesota Vikings beat report and the injury, offseason injury reports. I have no idea where he is in his rehab, but if he's not close, like if he's not ready to start working out and being a full participant in a month or so, they have to start thinking about who's our starting quarterback for 2025, and it might not be him. So if it's Sam Darnold and it's a 2-year deal, what's wrong with that?
And that doesn't mean you have to trade McCarthy, and that's a dangerous spot to be in as a team. If you get rid of a guy that just performed for you, led you to the playoffs, and then the quarterback you took is either still banged up or a bust,
right?
You've screwed the whole thing up.
Well, to get back to the McCarthy thing, I'm not saying they have to get rid of J.J. McCarthy. I'm saying J.J. McCarthy's probably going to say, I want to be here.
Go scratch, kid.
And they could do that.
Right.
They could say, go scratch. You're right. I'm just saying, if I'm him, the comparison to Rodgers is so different because Sam Darnold is not Aaron Rodgers. It's one thing to tell Jordan Love or Rodgers from years ago, hey, you're sitting behind a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You're going to be telling this kid, oh, yeah, you're sitting behind Sam for another year and a year after that.
Right. Well, probably not, because on Sam's last year, they're probably okay with him being the backup if he doesn't win the starting job because J.J. McCarthy's on a rookie deal.
Well, let's see how they structure Sam's contract.
Right.
That's interesting. I wonder, too, if the Vikings, if they, because look, Sam had a great year last year. He just collapsed at the end, right? He had a good year.
Yeah.
If Kevin O'Connell says, you know what, I believe in Sam more than I believe in JJ. We're going to sign Sam to a reasonable deal. And I bet, tell me if I'm wrong about this, that this quarterback draft is so weak that they could turn around and trade JJ McCarthy, even off that knee injury, for a top 10 pick?
No, I mean.
Is that crazy?
It depends on the knee. That's the issue. That's complicating. Is it no team is going to be privy to any of his medicals?
Where would JJ McCarthy rank in this draft if he was coming out this year?
He'd be above both these kids. That's a fact.
Well, there you go.
That's definitely for sure.
If that's for sure, then if you're the Jets or you're the Raiders, I don't know about the Giants at three. I'll put them aside.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you trade your pick for JJ McCarthy then?
You could. You're just worried about his health.
Yeah, you have to.
That's
obviously
the only thing.
You got to believe he's recovering.
And if you're the Minnesota Vikings, why are you giving another team, unless you're fully off of him, another permission to like check him out, like to go see your doctor? You wouldn't do that.
I think the motivation behind for Minnesota would be threefold. Number one, they believe in Sam Darnold. They believe he's just the better option, and he's still relatively young.
Yeah, 28,
right.
7, 28, something
so
like that.
So it's not like you're talking about a 35-year-old. And then number two, McCarthy's value in a draft like this is higher than where it would be next year.
Right. Sam Darnold's now, still only 27.
27. But think about it. Next year's quarterback draft will likely be better. McCarthy will have one less year of team control.
Yeah.
The value of what you could get for him pick-wise, even if he doesn't take a snap next year, would be lower next year than would be this year. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right. But the question now becomes, as you go think about those teams that were scouting him a year ago that are still quarterback needy, like the Giants, like the Raiders, where was he on their board?
Right.
Like, I know he got inflated with the Giants, but we know that was all nonsense.
And to that point, the Giants did have a pick. They took Malik Nabers before McCarthy got picked. The Raiders and Jets did not make picks until after McCarthy was picked.
Right.
So to me, I think it makes less sense for the Giants. If you were going to do this, well, why didn't you believe in him a year ago? Why would you believe in him more of a knee injury? We can't say that about the Raiders and the Jets.
I'll tell you the difference with the Giants. The difference is it goes back to they're in a different spot. They're more desperate for a quarterback this year than they were last year.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee that J.J. McCarthy is going to be good enough to make you a winner.
No, I agree with that. But what if they believe in him more than they believe in Shador?
Now you're just throwing crap on the wall and hope it sticks.
Yeah,
that is not the case. They weren't high on him last year. There's no way they're, like Sean said, they're going to be high on him this year, coming off a knee injury.
So you think they would have Shador and Cam on their board higher than J.J. McCarthy?
Definitely.
Okay. No, because you're saying, I get it, that other teams will view that differently.
Right.
But you're saying, based on the Giant actions last year, no way that's the case.
Okay. Fair enough. Chance.
Quarterback is so important. I would actually say if they made a trade for J.J. McCarthy and give a first round pick. I'm sorry. I'm firing Joe Shane immediately after the trade.
Right.
Because if you believed in the quarterback to give up a first-round pick now,
you should have gotten him last year.
You should have just got him last year.
They love Malik Nabers.
All right. But there were a bunch of wide receivers in this draft. You could have gotten one.
Yeah. No, I get you. Let's hear. That was a good one. And I like the fact that Rich acknowledged his Trey Lance mistake from last year. Let's hear another juicy rumor from Rich.
I heard from a handful of people.
Oh.
I heard that the Colts' idea of competition for Anthony Richardson is Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think, and I know this is very difficult for some Giant fans to do.
Yeah.
I'm able to separate myself on this, maybe not being a Giant fan. If Daniel Jones put together the same exact career with the Chargers, with the Vikings, wherever, and he got released, same thing, same injury, and he's available, and you were a quarterback needy team, you wouldn't bring him in and say, he's relatively young, he's got some talent, let him compete.
Yep.
I mean, I made that point a few weeks ago about the Jets. Joe B made it first. I give him credit, my old partner, and I agree with him. Like, I'm not against the Jets signing Daniel Jones as part of a quarterback competition. So I think if we could take our biases and kind of put it away for a second.
Yeah, forget the bias. I'll tell you the reality. That's a deal that would be amazing for the Indianapolis Colts. Because I know, only because I did seemingly every one of the Indianapolis Colts games this year and spent a lot of time with Shane Steichen and got a chance to chat a little bit with Jim Bob Cooter, their offensive coordinator. They want a guy who's going to grind on the football side of it. And if there's one thing that Daniel Jones does exceptionally well, it's grind on the football side of it. That's what Anthony Richardson didn't do.
Right.
And so if they want to bring in like real competition and someone to show you know, contemporary, not Joe Flacco, you know, veteran quarterback, but a contemporary who's only, I think, five years older than Anthony Richardson, how to grind and win a job. Daniel Jones is the perfect guy to do that.
Yeah, I get that. Here's rumor number two from Rich.
I heard the Giants and Raiders' interest in Matthew Stafford was quite real, and it was hairy at certain junctures last week. And I heard the Giants hit the number, and they hit the number for Stafford. And they not only hit the number for Stafford, I heard this again from multiple people. I heard they hit the number for Stafford, and they hit the trade comp, too. Whoa. They were in.
Hmm. I wonder what the trade comp was. Because that second-round pick is very high. We all agree it wasn't the first-round pick.
Right.
So what was the trade comp that the Rams would have been okay with if they didn't keep Matthew Stafford?
Probably the third. And,
yeah.
And something from next year.
Interesting. And right. They wanted him. I mean, right. Clearly that was their number one option.
He nailed that one.
Yeah.
That one, we don't have to revisit that next year. He nailed that.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
They wanted Matthew Stafford. I'm really mad at Sean about this whole thing. Because Sean reported, and I trusted your reporting, that Matthew's wife wanted to come here, come to New York. She was done with L.A.
No, I think she just wanted to leave L.A.
Yeah. So why were you so wrong about that?
Who says I'm wrong about that?
He's not here.
Okay.
Well, is she in L.A.?
Oh, you think there's a little a dust-up?
Even if she was in L.A., he may have came back and said, listen, sweetheart, your podcast is cute, but here's, you know, the guaranteed millions of dollars.
Right.
Just got from
we
the
got 55 or whatever the heck the restructure
wow.
is.
So is the last rumor not worth it, Tommy? Or do you want to hear the last rumor?
I forgot what it was, so let's just hear it.
The number one rumor I heard at the Combine, and this is a wide belief shared by a lot of people, the Browns truly have zero interest in trading for Myles Garrett. Zero.
Yeah, but you know what? I believe that, but I think they're idiots.
Trading
Myles Garrett. I think they're idiots because if Myles Garrett is going to remain firm on his trade demand, this situation's going to get uglier. And then if you do finally give it and trade him, you're trading for what I like to call blind picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's draft picks, but you don't know where they fall.
Right.
If you trade him now, you know where the picks are in this upcoming draft. So I think the Browns probably are feeling that way, but I'll tell you right now, I think it's a mistake. I think they'd be making a big, big mistake. That's the way I view it.
Well, the last two were obvious. One, number two, it already passed. Wasn't predicting anything.
Mm.
And number one, I mean, of course.
They don't want to trade a great player.
You got to shoe in first ballot Hall of Famer who's still somewhat in his prime. I think we'll hold on to him.
Yes. Well, things could get hairy, though. He doesn't go to camp. He puts the pressure on. The situation can get very, very ugly. And we all know where Myles Garrett's going to end up. Spoiler alert. He will end up with the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think Washington.
No, Washington's is a great. That was my initial prediction.
Philly, Joey Bosa.
My initial prediction was Washington,
Philly doesn't need him.
Yeah, but that's why they'll get him.
No, but
because
they don't
the
need
Eagles
him.
And Howie Roseman.
They're going to trade and give him a new contract?
Yes.
That's after giving Saquon a new contract and giving Zach Bond a new contract?
Yes.
It's
because Howie Roseman's like this evil genius.
I mean, you can screw with void years as much as you want and kick the can down the road, you know, half a decade, but that would be extreme.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope he ends up in Washington. I think that'd be interesting.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.